Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
The people speak in the age of ultra-media saturation, with talking heads and flash celebs styling the message. Do people really count? They do today, here on the Wildside News, as we continue to hear the voices of the people, when we return here on WS Radio, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's great to be here with you. Say, do people actually have something to say, or are we merely puppets of the media? Are there any original thinkers left? You be the judge, as we continue here, hearing what random people thought as I walked around with my tape recorder and just actually met people and asked what their thoughts were about nature and the earth. That was yesterday. This is fresh. I walked into the East Street Cafe in Encinitas, California, looking for people to talk with. And most everyone was reading books or talking on cell phones. They were working online. They had a LAN connection there. And so it was hard for me to find anybody. But there was one guy who was just starting to sit down with a fresh cup of tea. So I figured I'd better grab him before he got settled in. Well, he was dressed casually, had a flannel shirt, an orange t-shirt, graying hair, a little bit long. His name was Charles. And here is 15 minutes of a nearly two-hour conversation. Are people thinking? You be the judge. Here's Charles on nature. We're talking to Chuck, or Charles Wine. The man's got a lot of stories. So I'm just going to let you kind of free associate if you want.
Yeah, well, just start me someplace. And so we started something. This was like in 87, 88, 89, like that. And I made the Rainbow Bridge movie in 1970. And I had ecologists. I had Dr. Brunner, who was Einstein's nephew, talking about not fluoridating the water. It may harden your teeth 30 to 50%, but it hardens your liver, brain, and kidney. It's rat poison, basically, that they're putting to fluoridate. So but you saw people. Even in the hip times, it was like at least people were conscious, and then because they had nothing, there was nothing to lose. But when Carter was president there, and the oil companies, when it went from 19 cents a gallon, I have a picture of Rainbow Bridge in Huntington Beach, the oil derricks, and there's a gas station, the big American flag saying 19 cents. Soon, and I brought a woman who appeared out of nowhere down in Solana Beach and a friend of mine's editing studio, and she said she'd worked on Easy Rider, the part where Jack Nicholson is talking about UFOs and all that. She said she wrote that with her friend, and she was a secretary on it. And she said, you're doing a movie. I said, yes. She said, well, the Space Brothers, no, this is a quote, want 5 minutes of your movie. And then so she came out. She's in the Haleakala crater at the end of the movie, right after Jimmy's last concert in America on the side of Haleakala. And she's talking about you as a. The kids were asking, what about LSD? She said, well, you as an infant in a new body won't remember these ecstatic experiences on LSD. And then she would say the electricity and oil monopolies are controlling the planet. They don't want you to have free energy that's really available to you. And that she was talking about the higher consciousness space brothers want you to have it. So, I mean, this all sounds like, fairy tale science fiction, unless, but the thing about all these things, whether it's aliens or esoteric stuff, at the point where it becomes real for you, instead of something that's groovy and conspiratorial theory, you can't go back. And then you start having these things happen, because it's like, I read the cards. I was taught in the streets of Paris when I was 15. I always thought it was a hustle. and then somebody come back, oh, you told me I was going to break up with my girlfriend and end up with her sister. I would never remember anything because it's basically channeled, even when you think you're doing it. You know, it's nice to have cards or astrology charts because people feel more comfortable. If you start telling them reality stuff, they like it at first, and then it's too much. It blows them away because most people are stuck in their personalities. And I think, you know, the idea of rationally going against solving the problems of of pollution, especially, you know, it's like, you know, as we watch now, we got Mount St. Helens, then yesterday it was down in Mexico City, all of a sudden that the Ring of Fire is cooking up here, you know, I'm not an optimist or a pessimist. I just think the level at which we don't care. The huge part of the population, the governments we elect, but even the people who are activists, they get attached to their role as activists, and they're not using any strategy or intelligence which is going to get things done. You have to de-emphasize or eliminate your attachment to your role and find out how to bring the average person into that concern. You know, parents about their kids, what's it going to be like? I mean, usually you can go to the traffic clog, and you have to put it out there in small bits how that relates, you know, and then, oh, here, you've got a president, a vice president, oil men. And the price of gas in San Diego is $2.37 for regular today, you know? And nobody puts that together? I mean, they sort of know, but they, having the information, they've got them so addicted to being consumers and on survival and on plastic debt that nobody can move outside because most people aren't willing to endanger their survival. You know, if it's something simple that they can sign or go to a meeting occasionally, even the campuses, it's kind of like, it's all right if it's fun to gather and you don't want kids not to have a good time doing it. It helps, but, you know, there's a war going on, you know? I mean, it's old men sending young people to die, just like it was. I mean, you think about it. In Vietnam, Americans couldn't find Vietnam on the map in 1955. A few people who read the news knew about Dien Bien Phu and the French, right? And the same thing, they wouldn't know Iraq from Paraguay. You know, and now all of a sudden, you got people going to an election where they're talking about caring about you got George Bush saying, what about the Iraqis and this puppet government? If you talk to any Egyptian, even a non-jihadist Islamist, you talk to an average kind of politically neutral Egyptian who maybe even likes America, nobody trusts that Iraqi puppet government. So, and we're talking about elections that these people are controlling, so it's a total fraud. But, you know, my idea is Bush went in there to prove to his dad that he could one-up him, you know, because he'd been put down by the family. The family didn't talk to him. He was an alcoholic and doing party drugs, you know. But he's a front, you know. So America chooses to like him as a nice, good old boy and not go into the policies. They're incapable of it. In our media, the media that most people are dealing with, they're watching, if it's not network news, they're watching CNN. And these people, if you had a serial killer's mother, if they have the victim of the serial killer's mother, they have to have equal time for the serial killer. And they think they're being fair, you know, not like Fox is for Imbalance, which is ridiculous, or the Sinclair, which is putting out the anti-Kerry movie. But just the idea that there's not a commentator on who's known name, except maybe Lou Dobbs and Christine Amanpour, who actually are willing to give their opinion. Everybody, I mean, Wolf Blitzer is there. When Clinton was going, had bad times, Wolf Blitzer was like a dachshund on his leg, you know? Monica, but what about this? You know, that's the vibe. And he hasn't really changed. And that fellow from Meet the Press who wrote a book about his father, the Buffalo laborer or whatever, what's that guy's name? I mean, he's horrific. He never says anything original. Imagine his whole idea is that something. He's like a attack dog in nice guy's clothing, you know. And he never brings out anything real. He won't ask. He say, well, what he'll give if he's got a Democrat there, he'll give the Republican objections. Those will be his questions. If he's got the Republican, he'll have the Democrats. But and it's like So you end up with nobody ever. What you'd like to see is somebody fairly well-versed who studied it, who isn't going one way or the other, giving you what they think, not propaganda. And so you have all these news people trying to be neutral, which they're not, but their way of approach. So people, it's the rationalist failing that it's the appearance of logic that we're giving both sides and all that. But what you want to hear is the raw data. Hey, go give us what you feel, not what the Republican or Democrat expose. So there's no real debate or dialogue going on there. The debates aren't debates. Nobody can ask anybody any questions. So. And once again, you're dealing, you nature, what's going to happen to nature depends upon, I mean, Bush calls it, what do they call their forestry policy? It's like, you know, it's as blatant as saving the trees, they're calling it. Yeah, healthy forest. I mean, so how dumb do they think we are? But you think people in San Diego or California is a little more eco-oriented? They don't care. I mean, yeah, they'll care if you ask them, but they're not going to, they're not going to, do anything about it, and how late is it? We're still fossil fuels and now you've got, China's polluting faster than it's even Russia stopped sending them oil. It's more of a political thing, but I don't think I think there has to be major disasters here. It's kind of like Bhopal. I mean, look what happened. If you go to, and people aren't sensitive to the realities. I mean, it's like, don't you love the way everybody sports their fundamentalist Christianity and even Judaism or Islam or whatever, and don't care about the human beings? I mean, they're certainly not emulating the Jesus the Christ or Sakyamuni Siddhartha Gautama Buddha, or Muhammad. Or Hassan of Basra or any of these prophets, because take a country like Bangladesh. They've so deforested the side of the Himalayas that feed the rivers in Bangladesh that every time you get heavy rains, anywhere from 1,000 to 100,000 people on these low-lying mud flats of Bangladesh die. Well, we could have, with the money we put into Iraq, we could have built stilt houses for all those people. So it's not, I don't think George Bush or any of them care about human life. You feel that Kerry's a little bit more of a human being than Bush is so involved in the family's, world conquest or whatever it is, they talk about Saddam and gassing these people and all that. Well, Bush is the one who encouraged the Kurds to revolt, and we didn't help them when they did. That's how the people got gassed. They uncovered a grave yesterday, and But so, I think you actually have to rethink nature, and not, there's a magazine, Nature, where Jim Watson published the DNA model, which has become so. I used to sit in the Hayes Bickford cafeteria, which was kind of a chain in Boston. It was right near the Harvard Yard, and it was open all night, and the local townie women would come in different purple, violet, rose-colored outfits with hankies and all that. And there'd be about three or four of us all there, sitting there all night, And you didn't even really know them. They weren't your friends or people but you were friendly. So there was one guy, I used to bet with this guy who was sitting there, and I knew he worked in the bio labs, and then some of the girls I knew worked for him. But he sat there, and he was doing his thing and staring up there at a big head. He used to guess the color of the hankies the women were. We'd bet on it. We'd bet a cup of coffee on it. So, but I'm just saying that if you go through an intellectual history of the West, you talk about how people conceive nature, whether, the Baroque nature was a force, the Baroque period, and now... people want to get into rational scientific method and examine it, but what they don't understand, what the science, which is only a few hundred years old, really, if you go back to the Greeks and you go back to Archimedes and Pythagoras, these people, like Plato, they talked about the spirits and the role they had in it. They weren't writing metaphorically, which is how everybody treats it, or they poo-poo it. It's like we're getting further away because it's down to chemistry and analysis, and it's good to figure out how polluted we are, I guess, and all that. But there's no popular will for it. I mean, there should be, but when you ask, the people all agree, but that level of agreement is dwarfed by their fear of economic survival, of not wanting, it's like. It's like, what is it? Not Walmart, but...
Kmart?
I guess it's Walmart who imports. 10% of the exports of China come to Walmart. You know, so people would not get... Well, they, even if they're losing jobs and all, they will not give up the ability to consume all these products at such a reduced price, whether it's clothes or anything else. They don't. You think they care about somebody in Ohio losing their job? Well, they lose their own, they get a little shocked. You know, the techies all of a sudden get blown away. They, you know, where are they going to go? You know, now they're outsourcing. You call up and you rent a car from Enterprise. You call up, you're getting Bangalore. You know, in India. You know. It's, you know, 30 miles from Sachi Sai Baba's ashram, you know, and I'm going like, where are you in Bangalore? Oh, yes, how did you know, so I don't mind, because I just to see those people eat and have a life, you know, it's, I think we're getting what we deserve. We've already planted the seed, we've been very arrogant, we feel sort of a divine right entitled to it, and we, you know, we've been pushing fundamentalist religion without following the tenets of those religions. We're not universal, we don't care about helping our fellow man, and we're not, and if you believe that if you're a God-centered person, the nature is the book of the creation, and we're not protecting it. I mean, don't get me started about the animals. I mean, it's like 20 species a day, and they say, from a shamanistic point of view, the Hopi Indians who I talked to were from 1967 when they sent, or 68 when they said that they sent for me, and they want, when I took my Rainbow Bridge movie around the FM station, I always told the Hopi prophecies, and there's still one of them left. Thomas Bunyaki appears it in various whole life things and tells the Hopi prophecies, and they never multiply.
Thank you, Charles Wine. Are people thinking? You bet they are. When we continue, we hear more of the voice of the people here on the Wild Side News.